Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. I have a feeling of victory on so many fronts. It's going well in life. I think the propaganda of the mainstream is losing ground. We have regained a space for liberty on the internet. My life is going well. BTC is popping up faster than anyone expected. It feels good to just be sitting back and enjoying victories as they come, because it's been hard. I can't believe how hard it was to get to this place in my life, but now things are equilibrated. I have no delusional females around me generating expenses. My expenses are super low. I feel like I am one with nature and perfectly fitting within my environment. I feel that I don't have psychiatric issues to deal with. It is awesome. Life is awesome. First name, last name says, I thought other animals keep going until death. We already have a couple of questions coming for this Ask Me Anything. Sub7 was on Discord and he said, how did Coach Red Pill die? If you would like to answer this, I'd be interested to know the detail. Well, from my understanding, based on everything I've read, his letter to his sister, it looks like an accumulation of liquid in his lung. So a tissue eudemia. So basically, for some reason, and we'll probably never know exactly why, but there started to be an accumulation of liquid. It's like, people who have this in their hand can become super big. It's like, so there's something in your body that stops processing properly. The equilibrium of salts get disequilibrated, and somehow the cells lose control of the direction of water, and then water starts packing in. That is the phenomenon. So it starts like this. Doctors have all sorts of tricks to combat these kind of expansions of tissue. So it's really realistic that in the hands of good doctors, there would have been a doctor capable of calming down this inflation of a part of his lung. Now, eventually, this led to pneumonia, if I understood the story correctly. And so it's very easy once you have a part of your body that is inflated with water. That's easy sugar, easy salts, easy food for any bacteria. And you face the problem that the body is incapable of fighting infections in places like this where it has lost control. So the body is said that it has a certain concentration of white blood cells that are capable of going into a tissue that is well formed and be in high concentration enough to fight an infection. But if you have a part of your body that is puffing, poof, poof, that is inflating with water, that part of the body starts to drain the nutrients of your body, but it's way too big for the white blood cells to do their job. And most of the time, it's going to be broken in some way where the white blood cells may not even be able to go and form the pus. Because the whole pus, if you have pus on the side of your eye or in an injury, the pus is white because it's white blood cells. It is a big package of immune cells that are fighting back the infection. But if your lung is inflated so much water in it, the white blood cells are lost in too big of a volume. And this is where pneumonia becomes a danger. So having a part, and someone raises the possibility of a chest injury or cracked rib, that's possible. It's possible that a mechanical issue triggered this, but it's also possible that It triggers in and of itself without a mechanical reason for it. In any case, it's very easy then for bacteria to infect this part of the tissue. And now you find yourself with a colony of bacteria inside your lungs, and eventually you lack the ability to breathe, either because the lung has become so inflated that you can't open it up anymore because the volume is now consumed by water, or the bacteria themselves become enough to impede on the function of the lungs, or they infect all other parts of your body because they have such a high concentration in your lung, now they can mess up the rest of your body. So that is how Coach Red Pill died, as far as what I could collect from information out there. Someone else was asking, what is the evolutionary explanation for menopause? First name, last name says, hello, Jeff. I think there are only three species that go through menopause, including humans. Can you explain how this trait evolved? That is interesting. I quickly read this because you chatted this before the show began. So I quickly read some of the theories out there, and it's exactly as I expected. It's hypotheses that are out there. And those are the exact hypotheses I would have come to in my mind, but there's no definite answer to this question. So you have the epiphenomenal hypothesis, where it's just a side effect. We didn't evolve to have menopause. It's just that if you keep females alive artificially long, they go above what their reproductive organs had evolved to sustain, and they go into a menopause. So that's the theory, where we haven't evolved menopause that as an adaptation. It just is so. That is one possibility. The second possibility is, well, what if it's been naturally selected? What could be the reasons for it? And there's many reasons. Here's a couple of ones that I came to, and some that I read just before the show. You can think that there is something that humans must do in old age that is still useful to their grandchildren, but being a reproductive agent is not an advantage. So they have something important that will favor the survival of their grandchildren, but it's also important that they not be reproductive competitors. There's a ton of reasons you could imagine. Inheritance, for example. Companies, holdings. Either the idea of having a corporate holding in the modern world, or the idea of having a home in a tribe in the ancient world. But having a female who survives longer in a context where males are constantly dying to war and disease and too much demand on their body, it may be a good tool to ensure that the inheritance gets to children that are adult enough to receive it. So it's possible that the menopause here would evolve so that the female doesn't have a choice to betray her grandchildren. She is there standing just to make sure that the inheritance get to the right place at the right moment. And given that males die earlier, nature may have said, all right, it's better if you can't reproduce at all. Because if you can reproduce, and if you do have one more baby, you might abandon your already produced babies, which are more productive, which has much more chance to be evolutionarily fit. And so perhaps nature here made a decision and said, I'm going to keep you for that function, but I'm going to make sure that you don't have other functions that could interfere with that most important function. So that's one theory. The theory that there was something about inheritance and the early death of males to violence that put women in the ideal position to do this. Now, it doesn't have to be strict inheritance. It could just be general grandparental care, general culture, cultural transmission to the next generation. It could be all sorts of helping tasks with taking care of the children or making sure that the children are okay while the parents have too much to do. So something along those lines, I think, could very well explain this. New guy says, so people with wise woman thrived, people with constantly producing mothers throughout life failed. Interesting. Yeah, if that is true, if menopause did get selected for this, it means that there is something really importantly monogamous in, you know, that messing up with monogamy in humanity is messing up with a strong enough evolutionary function that evolution will reply. That is an interesting thing, because it shows. Because you would think, oh, well, monogamy, is it truly selected within human civilization? Well, if that theory of menopause is true, certainly. Because monogamy would be so important that even after the fact of having the babies, you lose at having further babies. And let me tell you, seeing you know, destroyed families of the modern time, and how much the next babies are, of course, leading you to abandon the already existing babies. Seeing all of the trouble that comes with polygamy, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised that nature would have seen enough of this and said, all right, even if all males die by the sword, I'm going to make sure that you don't get another young male as a cougar, because anyways, you'd be wasting his life and you'd be wasting your already existing children. So for women, it is true that having children should be a one-shot thing that they do and that they take very seriously. But then once it's done, it's done. And then they can enjoy the fruit of their reproductive work. They can see these children get into old age and have children of their own. That is how I see life. We won, says Catgirl Kulak. The anti-draft Fed posting scared them enough. They're permanently cutting their target numbers rather than deal with you lot. They are more frightened of American young men than the enemy, as it should be. Oh yeah, the military propaganda in the US is down. Man, I remember when the army had basically movies in the works. Movies that were meant to just foment the patriotic desire into young men to go throw their lives away to Russia, to war with Russia or whatever other entity. And it's all done. It's all gone. They've lost control of the PSYOPs. They've even lost control at this point on the Ukraine routing. And Ukraine routing was easy because it wasn't about convincing Americans to go lose their own life. It was about money and about siding with some other entity. You know, that's easy to do from social media. But even that, they're not able to pull it anymore, because suffice that there is freedom of speech on Twitter and they totally lose control because people can see through the propaganda. And that's why we find ourselves with the self-immolated man, the Reddit account of the pro-Palestinian protester who immolated himself has been discovered. According to the account, Bushnell was an anarcho-communist who celebrated the deaths of U.S. soldiers and believed that whiteness erases culture. So yesterday I had said that he did look like an ideologically consistent leftist. Basically, I would have pushed back on many of his beliefs, but ultimately he had integrated these beliefs and he truly believed in them. He truly believed, you know, slavery was wrong and we must stand for civil rights violations in our time. And in his view, the civil rights violation of our time is the bombing of Gaza. So here he was writing, and he was writing mostly on anarchist libertarian forums. But he was not a libertarian right-winger. He was a liberty-loving, respectful gentleman of the left libertarianism. So he was an anarchist in some form, but mostly out of a hate and resentment of authority and what it leads to. And mostly because he was respectful of others and liberty was was the way to liberate them from authoritarian controls. He says, whiteness erases culture. Conformity to whatever some authority declare to be the culture is not going to somehow stop the creation of cults, but exacerbate the conditions which creates them. Right. So he was quoting that part and he said, right, you're actually agreeing with the comment you're replying to here. So I think you are misunderstanding what culture is. Culture is not conformity. Culture arises spontaneously and intentionally from social interaction, and conformity stifles that process. See, that is a very leftist thing to say. He doesn't see culture as an expression of biology. See, I could have helped this young man. He sees culture as truly a product of agents intentionally creating it. I see culture as like an ejection of the human body, like shit and urine. He sees culture as this truly, he buys into it. The culture exists and is produced intelligently by humans. In fact, conforming to an authoritarian prescribed culture, such as, I don't know, settler colonial culture, requires the sacrifice of ethnic culture and the autonomy that creates it. So here he's talking about the Palestinians. He's saying, when you buy in the Israeli propaganda and the whiteness propaganda from his perspective, you eradicate the ethnic culture, which is what would have stemmed in Gaza naturally if it hadn't been bombed. And here that happens to be Muslim culture. And this tends to create a negative feedback loop where, lacking culture, members of the in-group seek to fill the void by further conforming to the prescribed culture, by shedding their actual cultural heritage and their ability to create it. So we see the link between authoritarianism and culturelessness. So here he's very close to saying white people have no culture. That's interesting. So he's that much of a leftist. I knew he was a leftist yesterday. I wasn't sure he was that much of a leftist, but that solves the answer. So his own way to say white people have no culture is to say whiteness erases culture. So in his view, white people, they survive by inventing a faux culture. A culture of conformity to whatever are the orders, like you would see in Israel's settler culture. So whatever it is that you can grab, that you can point to as your culture, you're going to do it. But inherently, you don't have culture from his point of view. You erase culture because your settler culture will lead you to colonize the territory and kick out the true ethnic culture, the true Native American, the true Arabs who we are invading. Man, that is some deep leftism. This guy was truly an anarcho-communist. truly communist in the heart. He said, fuck Jesus with his demagoguery. So on Anarchy for Everyone, thank you, Jesus. The real Jesus trademark only looks like a half-decent role model compared to the monstrosity that his followers created. So basically here he's saying there was a real Jesus who came on Earth, and then there was the misrepresentation of him by his followers. I would agree with this. But the seeds of the monstrosity were there from the beginning, and they are there in the supposedly idealized message in this very meme. According to this message, sexuality, particularly woman's, is harmful, and humanity must conform to inhuman divine standards, and this must be enforced with physical violence. Whether that means women have to cover their bodies or men have to pluck out their eyes is frankly a trivial ethical quibble. I reject the heinous idea that humanity must contort itself into some patriarchal distortion. Okay, so he is a sex-positive, female liberation, feminist, anarcho-communist. I don't particularly disagree with the idea of woman being free. I would point out that too much freedom leads to societal decay of an extreme kind. But I am all for people who engage in degeneracy to pay the price of it. I don't know, though, that there was in the initial message of Jesus an anti-female attitude of any kind. I think because he's claiming that not only are the followers of Jesus, so the Christians of today, he's saying they are authoritarian against female sexuality. Now, we could have this argument. Maybe they are too much. I don't know. But certainly in the original Bible message, I don't remember Jesus being for puritanism at an overly unjust level toward women. I don't remember seeing this. I reject the heinous idea that humanity must contort itself into some patriarchal distortion. Jesus can fuck off with his demagoguery. His I am the way, the truth, and the life is love the Lord, your God, with all your soul, with all your heart, and with all your mind, and is give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. So a big fuck you to Jesus. Well, okay, but then he self-immolated. So that's what we've learned extra from what we had yesterday on this fascinating gentleman, Aaron Bushnell, who self-immolated out of a desire to remain leftist and consistent in his belief. Phantom of the Odyssey says, but he died for a Muslim population. Yes, a lot of people covered this story by pointing to the cuckery that it is, that basically he self-immolated for in defense of a Gaza population. Of course, yeah, it's a little bit of a cuckery. I would say, but I've not covered it in that way because I think it's a little bit of an exaggeration. I don't think he self-immolated for the Gazans. I think he self-immolated for the principles that he had in his mind. And, you know, he self-immolated in a righteous fashion for what he believed in, for the disgust that he had at what we do, at what his side does. It's not so much in defense of another population. So that's why I didn't call him a cock yesterday. Because although we have very different beliefs, he's at the extreme of communism in the end. Ooh, that's what we discovered today. I can still feel empathy for a guy like this because he's a stubborn, principle-based man. And so I don't feel that he's in another team than mine. I don't want to take a shit on his burnt body. I don't want to beat the dead horse because ultimately, I think he was a relatively good guy. Even if he was a communist, he was a communist with principles. I mean, we have to encourage this a little bit. There are so much dirty communists out there with zero consistency. You would have them right in front of you in a conversation, and they would slime away in all directions. This guy, I'm sure if he was in a conversation with me, we would get a straight answer for everything he believes in. And it would be true. So give it up for the honest communist. I mean, there's not that many people honest out there. Too many vouchers, says DK Shadow. Yes, exactly. James says Jesus was egalitarian toward women, but Paul introduced gender roles in Christianity. He would have been more effective criticizing Paul. Yeah, so I think he had probably this very teenager attitude toward Jesus. He was in a revolt. But perhaps that revolt was not so justified, in fact. James says, I agree, JF, I like this commie. When do we get to say this sentence? I like this communist. American teacher goes to France, tries to teach them that we can't say the N-word.
I'm American. There's only one N-word. And something that I've noticed in the last 8 years living in France.
Okay, so I lived in France for 5 years and have never heard white people say the N-word so much. Also saw like 3 or 4 cases of blackface. The weirdest instance.
Yeah, the N-word in French culture is a little more acceptable. It doesn't carry historical guilt. The French people doesn't quite feel that they were ever a people of slavery. And the French people, anyways, even if they had been a people of slavery, they are contrarians and they are edgy and trollish by nature. And if you told them you can't say that word, they would yell it over the mountains.
For me was when one of the first years I was there, I was like an English teaching assistant and I had a group of students and we were doing a lesson on the civil rights movement. So I started off by being like,
how about the civil rights of speech?
Like, hey, what do you guys know about this from the US? What do you know anything? And one kid raises his hand and is like, yeah, it's when N-words wanted more rights. So great way to start that lesson off. But after that, I was like, A, we're not saying that word is like not allowed in my classroom. And B, if at a classroom full of white students, like if you guys are saying this word, can't stop you outside of this classroom, but this is what it means. This is what it means about you and your beliefs. So,
well, is it true though? Is the use of a word necessarily implying beliefs? That is the kind of shortcut that these female teachers want us to take, but I don't think that's correct. There's no other word where there's no context in which you could use this word that doesn't indicate you have this belief. So probably what she was saying to the French young people was, when you use this word, it means you are for the inferiority of black people, and you are saying that they were legitimately enslaved. Well, I don't know. I don't know that this word means this, especially not for the French mind. The French mind, there is actually a use of this word in the writing business where it can be used on TV. And it's always, to me who listens both to French TV and American TV, it was always a pleasure to see French intellectuals just in a otherwise super polite conversation saying, so I just talked to my N-words. It is, and in writing, it means the people who are writing the book for you, but they're not putting their name on top of the cover page. You will put your name on the cover page. And it points to the fact that even in our world, there is some sort of slavery going on. There is some employment that is unjust. And these authors who are the true talents behind French literature, who are ghost writings, yes, the ghost writers of French literature, they are called N-words in French. And it points to actually a kind of solidarity with them to say, hey, they're being exploited, it's unjust, so I'm going to give them the status of N-words. Because ultimately, it stems from a desire of equality of the Frenchman. The Frenchmen call ghostwriters N-words because they say, just like the N-words, they are in need of a civil revolution. Just like the N-words, they should eventually be liberated. And so to this female teacher who says, any use of this word indicates that you believe A, B, C, you don't know. You don't know about French culture. You don't know about the legitimate uses of this word, potentially.
So after that, for the rest of the school year, whenever the boys from that group saw me in the hallway, it was a chorus of people just shouting the N-word.
I'm American, there's only...
So she made it illegal to say the N-word in class, and the response was a chorus. A chorus in the whole school. Oh my God, French kids are funny. I need to take a 30 seconds break. I'll be back. All right, we are continuing through the process that is meant to determine if Nathan Wade is a proper prosecutor for Donald Trump because he was sleeping with the attorney general. And his lawyer is on the, I don't recall. But here you answered, I don't recall, to a question that normally you should be able to recall, which is, were you lying? Was this a lie when you said this or that? And look at his answer.
You were communicating different details of the relationship between Miss Willis and Mr. Wade to Mrs. Merchant. Did you lie to her about any of those details?
Objection, asked and answered twice.
I don't think he's answered it yet.
I don't recall ever whether any of it was a lie or not.
I don't recall if it was a lie. Normally, you should know that you haven't lied. Like, you should be like, I've been honest throughout the process. Certainly, it wasn't a lie. We can have a look at what was the difference between my statements. We can check if there's a misunderstanding, but I certainly recall not lying. This guy is like, no, I don't recall if I was lying on that particular in that particular moment. I mean, I can't believe that it's that low that we have admissions basically of this whole circle of people around Nathan Wade and Fannie Willis. they all knew, or they were lying about, or they kind of knew. And it's like, okay, let's just declare it. She was fucking him. He kept going to her apartment, went to her condo like 30 times before he got hired. 30 times in a condo, you're not going to have me believe that this is not a romantic situation. And, you know, if the argument is, well, I won't emasculate him, but he had cancer of the balls, so he couldn't have sex with me, that is still a romantic relationship to me. What a terrible... I mean, you just raise the carpet a little bit, and you see the cockroaches. You find a whole life in the sewer. And it's like the first time we get to explore this. Like, just take a random black attorney general in some corrupt district of America. You're going to get the same, because it's a total random that we ended up having this process. Can you imagine that of the 100,000 attorney generals out there in some leftist district of some kind, each of them are probably just as bad as these people? Each of them are in a situation of abuse of power and corruption and political money and $9,000 under the pillow. And we just raised one carpet. There's 100,000 carpets to be raised. Meanwhile, Twitter is back to censorship. Margot Review has been temporarily suspended. No reason provided. These suspensions and temporary bans are becoming more frequent on X. Your account is locked. He has no idea why. Morgoth's Review. Semi-O-Gog. Semi-O-Gog had said the word freaks. I mean, it's unbelievable. Hateful conduct on the basis of race, ethnicity, national origin, sexual orientation. Look at his tweet. He was saying, fascinating post, but what the fuck does it have to do with what I said? Is this the freak zone? Is this where rando freaks just come in and say whatever? Or is it more a reading comprehension problem? Freaks. We can't say freaks on the free speech platform of the internet. Freaks. That is like it's such a soft term that it awakens my nostalgia for the 90s. Lendald says, freaks are a protected group. I mean, it is such, like, using freaks would actually make you look like weirdly soft. It's a dad's insult. It's kind of old. It's kind of maybe me. I could use that word because I'm a man of the 90s, but in 2024, it's not strong enough. And yet it's strong enough for Elon to push the ban button. I'm done with Google. Wholesale loss of trust after unbelievably irresponsible racist AI goes mask off. So Google is taking a hit. Google is taking a hit. It's living through some kind of a boycott moment. There's lots of people out there who are saying no more to Google. Let me tell you, I've pretty much abandoned most of Google. Maybe 2 or 3 years ago, when I switched for my search engine to Presearch. Presearch has been serving me very well. I was out of YouTube because YouTube had too much censorship. So my two major ways in which I was using Google, which is search engine and YouTube publishing, I went out of it, and now we live on Odyssey. I do my searches every day on pre-search. It's serving me super well. I think it's great if there is another wave of this that comes. Because as Elon was pointing out, the only sin of the Gemini AI was to make his anti-whiteness so explicit. But this anti-whiteness has been at the heart of all Google products forever. So there's nothing new here. The Gemini AI refusing to show white people in pictures and saying, here's an 18th century Irishman and he shows you an African. That has been the classical way of Google to handle images, search. We've been laughing our ass off and memeing about this like back 5 years ago, 7 years ago. So the fact that people are discovering this with the AI is kind of a secondary wave. And I'm super happy that this secondary wave is catching. People were pointing out that there seems to be a drop of the stock market. People were quantifying the drop to $90 billion in value evaporating for Google because they released a product that exposed their anti-whiteness. But the thing is, YouTube has been on that anti-white feed for a long time. It's been for a long time that YouTube does process censorship requests in an unjust fashion toward white people. But people are awakening, and again, that's just more winning. I love it. Because those are fights that we started years ago, and we got called white nationalists and evil anti-Semites for starting them. But in the end, the world is realizing, and we were right. That feels good. New guy says it's because they want to hide his leftism that JF just exposed, talking about Aaron Bushnell. I don't know to which extent they want to hide this guy. They certainly want to hide his stand on principle, because they certainly don't want a whole generation of men to be inspired by someone who says, I will not participate to genocide for Israel. Certainly, they don't have an interest at bringing attention to this. Xenophon says, better to highlight that based Elon's Grok acts the exact same. I don't know, does Grok have the ability to make images? I've not seen this when I was using it. Grok, I've always pointed to it as a slightly more centrist, slightly less anti-white AI. I think it's a fair description. But still very, very imbued with the leftism, the kind of the overall mainstream thought, centrist thought. Frederick von Finkel says, JF, do you think the military targets genetically more Neanderthal men and makes them develop their technology? What is this question? Genetically more Neanderthal men. The problem is more Neanderthal men, that means whites and Asians. And so I don't know if you're kidding here. And if you're asking me, non-blacks, basically. And then you ask me, is the military trying to hire these more Neanderthal men to make them develop their technology? Well, are they hiring more white and Asians to develop military technology? The answer is yes. Definitely, if you go into any tech sector, you know, you're going to see three races of people. Asian and Indians, whites, and that's good news. And then you're going to see the freaking Mexicans, and that's bad news. Because they're just not able to program the stuff, you know? They're just there and they say, yes, sir, we will do this, sir. And it's like, you come back a few days later. Yes, sir, it's done, sir. Okay. It's done. Where is it? Show me the program. Well, sir, it's not done. Okay, it's not done. Is there anything done? Do you have a single line to show me? No, sir, no. Well, why did you say to me that it was done? Well, sir, I've had some trouble. I was sick. I mean, it's fucking ridiculous. Whereas the white person will be sick, but will be like, I need to finish this project. So yes, definitely non-Neanderthal genes are being selected for working in the tech sector. Yes. Whether they do so consciously or indirectly by just selecting for certain talents or selecting for certain educational paths, in the end, it's what it is. There is a racial reality here. Not everyone is capable of working in technology. BlackRock spot Bitcoin ETF broke its personal record again, trading over $1.3 billion today. Look at this. Yesterday I was saying biggest day for the ETFs. And here the day is not even over. And again, poof. So the first month, the first 2 months of ETF was not even topped. We are seeing now volumes that are going above what the first 60 days of ETFs opening gave us. So that is extremely encouraging. That is why we have a 57K Bitcoin, as assessed by my block clock right in front of me. It's so good to see increases in this value. 57K. It's so good to just see the success of something that I told you guys for years. Bitcoin is going to rise. Keep your Bitcoin. I've been keeping mine across 2 bull runs, and now it's happening. The second bull run is in swing. It's not even fully begun yet. We're not even at the halving. But normally it's after the halving that the peak will be achieved. So maybe in a year from now. But some people are also thinking that this bull run is different from the last. First, because there will be the ETF factor bringing in much more volume. Second, because money being locked into the ETFs means money that will not flee in the traditional way toward the alt sector. So traditionally, what you had is the big exchanges that are stacking a lot of Bitcoin. If they perceive that a peak has arrived, they want to move to ETH, and then they want to exchange this ETH for USDT. Because USDT is the ultimate protection in a bear market, and it lives on the ETH blockchain. ETH was kind of the funnel that people were, therefore there was a large movement of capital from BTC to ETH to USDT. What if a significant amount of the capital this time is just boomer money? And I said it, yes, DK Shadow, that was my description. The ETF money will have retard strength. And you call it retard normie strength. But yes, that's what I meant. It will stay there. So will they sell the ETF or will they just keep it across bull runs? We don't know. What we know is that from these considerations, we can think that the alt seasons will probably still happen, but it probably will not be as big proportionally as the last few last alt seasons. I still think there will be a visible alt season where ETH eventually outcompetes locally in time for a certain window Bitcoin. But I don't think it's going to be all of the money. This time it's going to be a fraction of the money. A fraction of what it usually is. So those are important considerations. Saturn Shine says, who owns Bitcoin? Well, anyone who followed my example and my lead. AF Post says, Arizona GOP advances a bill allowing citizens to legally protect their property from illegal migrant crossings. So a sort of a castle doctrine against illegal migrant invasions. I am for it, but I don't. Sometimes they put such exceptions in the law that it basically serves nothing. Because how would you know if they're an illegal migrant? For this law to be effective, you have to give me the right to shoot anyone on my property at will. Now it starts making sense, because then I don't care if he's an illegal migrant or a kid from the neighborhood, I can go hunting. But if you just say, well, in the case of an illegal migrant who finds himself within the border of your property, and if you had this sign here and this sign there, then maybe you can shoot. That doesn't help much. Doubting Thomas says, JF, you mentioned that you may sell all of your BTC in the next about 20 years if state or hostile agents gain control through excessive regulation or other means. My question is, to where do you predict you will migrate your wealth? Well, it's going to be an estimation at the time where it happens of what is the safest place. So the question will arise, is the same takeover, let's say it's a corporate takeover of the miners. Well, that's just Bitcoin. So then the natural response will be, well, we can move to ETH, we can move to Matic, we can move to BSC. And then it's going to be a question at that time. What is the most long-term potential for these various blockchains, and which one do I believe will withstand the test of time? So that's how I would approach it. And there would be a situation then, if it's not a corporate takeover of the miners, if it's an overarching industry-wide takeover by law, then perhaps the only path out might be a Monero or some privacy, strong privacy coins. But those questions will arise when they do, and it's not now. So I'm not super worried about thinking about this now, because the answer I could give you today would be very different from the answer I would give you in 15 years. It all depends. But I think there will be plenty of time to see it coming. I don't think we will have a short-term massive rug pull of Bitcoin. I'm confident to take that risk. This is Santo Felix Cruz Ramos. He is from Honduras and is in our country illegally. He was arrested this week after allegedly raping a woman. The sheriff's office is classifying him as white. Biden opens border, are putting lives in danger and allowing criminals to roam our country. Yeah, there's so much of this, race, white, that at this point I don't even believe the racial gap statistics. I think they must overrepresent the crimes in the white category. So be careful. We can't trust the graphs that are arising, because there are leftists underground making sure that that people get mischaracterized racially so that the statistics change. Because very soon they're going to stack these one by one examples, and they're going to influence the statistic. Very soon they're going to come to you with a straight face and telling you black people and white people are committing the exact same amount of crime. And the only rational answer to this will be, ha 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 ha. Master Slave says JF should invest his money in aged cheese or start a cheese making business. You know, I would love to master cheese making, but probably not rational to do so. Commerce is just unviable. Too much leftism, too much communism. Silver Spider says, hey, Jeff, even though Biden's approval rating is at an all-time low, Trump's all-time low is claimed to have been lower. How do you think this will affect the election? I didn't see the comparison with Trump. I would have to see the Trump numbers. But it doesn't matter. This was a low Trump approval in an artificial media controlled scenario in which people were dunking on Trump constantly. They can't quite do it this time because Trump isn't the president. So I think it's going to be hard for the leftists to be so strongly anti-Trump when what we have from Trump are not everyday actions, but rather promises. James says, JF already has all of his money in celery. Yes, the celery currency. Wendy's to test surge pricing using high-tech menu boards that change in real time. So basically, if you come at a moment of the day where there's already many people, you have to pay a higher price because there's more demand. But if you come in a slow moment of the day, you get a rebate on the burger. I'm all for it because I'm a man who's constantly lived out of phase with the rest of society. I remember walking alone on the streets of the university, going to work at 2 a.m., going to do some monkey analysis or going to do some fish surgery. I remember being alone in an entire skyscraper building. I remember there was no one, everything closed. I always live out of phase with society. And so you have to reward people like me because I don't occupy a place in the takeout line of your Wendy's because I'm out of phase with you. I don't slow down your delivery of your Wendy's burger when I go get mine at 3 a.m. So I need to be rewarded for this cheaper burger now. Ali Mayer says, I got $50 crypto for ya. Do you want to try some ETH? It doubled since I first got it. Bro, I happily receive any ETH donation. I have my super safe wallet that's on a ledger, which I can access through MetaMask. So if you want to send me some of that $50 ETH, I will be happy to use it as gas and to huddle it on my account. You can see my ETH address at the bottom of the description of the video. And yeah, I really enjoy receiving crypto. Let me tell you, the crypto I receive, it all gets funneled into some secret addresses. I funnel them to newly generated addresses so that you can't trace. You can't trace the entirety of my holdings. So I put them in a new address, but I huddle. I'm still huddling crypto that was sent to me 1 year ago, 3 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. I'm a big fan, bro. Thank you so much. A bold new chapter. Macy's will close 150 stores, focus on luxury consumer with Bloomingdale Yeah, I don't know. With the gang thievery that's happening, I don't think you can operate a Macy's in most places. We've seen so many videos of people, just gangs of 30, 40 youths, just walking into the Macy's and just destroying everything, stealing the highest value stuff they can grab. So, yeah, close 150 stores. Excellent decision. Irish woman discusses her experience of replacement migration.
I'm from Dublin, but I come to Mayo every weekend. But I wanted to talk about what the situation is like where I live, because you have not seen what is coming yet, and I have. Where I live is about 85% foreign nationals. I can walk down the street on any given day, walk into the supermarket, and I don't hear an Irish conversation. I hear foreign people everywhere. My child is one of 30 children in her class, and she's the only Irish child. She came home crying from school a few weeks ago because she doesn't understand what any of her friends are saying. The children revert back to their own languages when they're not being taught. She literally cannot understand the conversations around her. But when Halloween came around there a few months ago, the year before last she was allowed to dress up. This year she wasn't allowed to dress up. And when I asked the school why, they said they didn't want to offend people. But I don't go for a walk around the park during the day with my child anymore. I have a big dog and I don't go for a walk by myself anymore. I very rarely leave my house because where I live is so unsafe. And that is the reality that you're facing if you don't make a stand. And I understand it's really, really hard to, you know, be called names and all of these things. But you have to stand up on behalf of your children and the future of the country. The country is going to, the landscape of this country is changing completely. And if you're okay with that, fine. But I'm not okay with that. I'm not okay with that for my child. Please, please put your children first and your country first. And just don't care what anyone else thinks.
Very moving moment that is happening across Western civilization. We have to reconcentrate, flee, and rebuild a white world somewhere within our nations, perhaps one day outside of our nations. Michael Saylor's MicroStrategy Bitcoin investment is now at a $4.6 billion unrealized profit. This is amazing because Michael Saylor bought Bitcoin so much later than me. The average buying price of Michael Saylor is something like $34K. My average price is somewhere between $7K and $16K because those are the 2 points at which I've bought Bitcoin. So amazing. He is in profit. For a long time, he was out of profit during the bear market. But this guy is going to become the richest man on earth. Amazingly, just doing one thing, buying Bitcoin. Trump asks judge to block testimony from Michael Cohen. Stormy Daniels, former President Donald Trump has asked the judge in his so-called hush money case to issue pretrial rulings that would block certain evidence and witness testimony that the former president says his opponents want to exploit to undermine his 2024 presidential campaign. Well, it's what it is throughout this show trial. It's all little, let's cause problems to Trump so his life is harder. It sucks so hard that this is happening. Total misuse of the justice system for political reasons. That's it for tonight, boys. John Drake says no. Max Kaiser will become the richest man on earth. You think Max Kaiser has more Bitcoin than Michael Saylor? It's an interesting theory. He once, amazingly, he once gave 1,000 Bitcoin to Russell Brand, and Russell Brand, this fucking artist. Never trust an artist. If you give Bitcoin to an artist, keep the seed words. He's probably going to forget about it. He's going to lose his seed words. Amazingly, Max Kaiser gave 1,000 Bitcoin to Russell Brand, which would be worth today $57 million. And this fucking idiot lost the key, lost the code. John Drake says 10,000 to Alex Jones. Is that true? Oh my God, these people. Disorganized minds, not to be trusted. Based Saxon says link to this video will be on the description. Yes, after the show, I always generate a .html file called links used in the show. It will be enabled as soon as the HTML is generated, which is generally 3 minutes after the show. That's it. Bye-bye, much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you.